scripture, the gospel from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so they may go to the villages to buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, again, we are gathered as your people because we really need to hear a word from you. So we ask again, dear Holy Spirit, pour yourself out on us. Once again, come and take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of all of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we've been reading along through the Gospel of Matthew, and we spent several weeks in chapter 13, and now we've moved into the next chapter. And where we picked up this morning starts out with Jesus saying, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Now, so whenever we hear, when Jesus heard this, or after these things, the first thing that we want to ask is, so what was that? What was the thing that just got referred to? Well, as we begin to look at chapter 14, what we find is that this chapter opens with the report of John the Baptist's execution at the hands of Herod. It's kind of a sordid story, and one of those things that just reminds us of the incredible corruption and capriciousness of the situation in the Roman Empire and in Israel with King Herod. And we remember that this hit Jesus pretty hard. John was his cousin. John had baptized him and sent him off in the spirit, driven into the wilderness to be tempted, for his ministry to be shaped and to be prepared for what was to come. There was a tie between John and Jesus. We might even guess that Jesus thought of John as a sort of mentor. And so when Jesus heard that John had been executed, maybe when he heard the details about how that all went down, Jesus went off into a deserted place. We can guess that Jesus was headed off to grieve, and that Jesus was headed off to pray, that Jesus just needed some time to be by himself so that he could process this loss in his life, so he could process what it might mean for him John's death demonstrates once again that it was not a good time to be a prophet in Israel. That it was not a good time to be one who said, "This is the word of the Lord. This is what God is doing in the world. This is what we need to do in response to that." It was not a good time to be calling out leaders and saying, "God has other things for you to care about than what you seem to care about." John, or Jesus, in hearing about John's death, we can imagine that he's processing all of this stuff, and he heads off into a deserted place to pray, to grieve, to be restored. But when he gets there, he found that the crowd had already gotten there ahead of him. And Jesus' response is just inconceivable. Right, we would expect that that if we were in Jesus' shoes, "I want to be alone. I need some time to pray. I need some time to think. I need some time to process what this means for how I'm going to do my ministry, or what if I continue to do my ministry this way, what's it going to turn into? I need time alone to work on that." And now all of these people have gathered. If it was me, my instinct might be to go try to find another place to hide. But that's not how Jesus responded at all. Jesus was inconceivably compassionate to the crowd. Jesus looked at the crowd and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. Right? It wasn't just that Jesus looked and said, "Oh, wow, I feel bad. Look at how terrible those people have it." Jesus wasn't just having an emotional event. Jesus had compassion. That what he felt was deep enough and powerful enough that he needed to act upon it. And so he had compassion on the crowd. And he healed their sick. He knew what they needed. And he put that ahead of what was going on in his life. Inconceivable to be able, in the moment that Jesus was in, to be able to respond like that. And so he spends, apparently, all day with them. And as it gets towards the end of the day, the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Look, this is a deserted place. Like this place is like out in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's not a McDonald's for miles. Right? There's no grocery stores. There's not even a Walmart. We're in the middle of absolutely nowhere." And you can almost imagine Jesus going, at least if I were in that position, the thing that might have passed through my mind was, well, of course, that's why I picked it in the first place. I was coming to find a place where I could be alone. And the disciples come to Jesus with what they think is a fairly reasonable solution. Right? Look, it's getting dark. It's going to take a while for them to get anywhere. We need to put them on the road so they can get to somewhere where they can get food before it gets too late. Because obviously, you can't do that here. You got it. We need to get them going so that they can take care of that. And Jesus inconceivably responds again. No, we're going to feed them. Actually, what Jesus says is, you're going to feed them. Inconceivable. Jesus is inconceivably generous to the crowd. Jesus, in the middle of a deserted place, in a place where there just simply isn't anything. Ends up feeding the entire crowd. Providing them with so much abundance that there are 12 baskets of food left. Inconceivable. Well, yes, but still, it fits here. Who could have imagined? Who could have thought that Jesus would pick this moment to respond in this way? To meet the needs of the crowd. And to meet it so inconceivably generously. We call it a miracle. And that's an appropriate name. Because who could have conceived of that as a possibility? Nobody. Nobody but Jesus. Now, the thing that always gets my attention as I look at this story that appears in all four of the Gospels, the thing that always grabs my attention is Jesus' reaction to the disciples. Because I believe that Jesus is inconceivably generous to his disciples. Jesus could have just done a miracle. He could have had everybody sit down in groups and prayed and poof, there's the bread. Poof, there's the fish. And that would have been incredibly generous to the crowd. But what Jesus does instead is he looks at the disciples and says, no, you. And the disciples look at each other and go, we can't do that. I mean, look, we've only got five loaves and two fish. We simply do not have people. Do you know how many people are out there? We don't have the resources for this. There's no way we can do this. It doesn't matter how much the job needs to be done, we simply don't have the resources. How many times have we been there? Yes, Jesus, I see that there's a need. Yes, Jesus, I see that you care deeply about these people. But we just can't do it. We just can't. We don't have the resources to pull that off. And what Jesus says to them, five loaves, two fish, huh? Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Suddenly, the things that aren't enough become enough. That God takes what we bring to Him and is able to do inconceivably more than we can imagine. Jesus calls us to bring our stuff to Him. Bring your resources, whatever you have. Bring it. And I will make it be enough. Is inconceivably generous for us. Because one of the things that we struggle with all the time is the sense of we don't have enough, we don't have enough, we don't have enough. Or maybe we have enough for us, but we don't have enough for us and them. Which I would suggest is the kind of fear that is the opposite of the love that God calls us to. That kind of fear is the exact opposite of the way of life to which Jesus calls us. And so Jesus takes our fear and says, I know. But bring it to me. Bring it to me. And together with your trusting me, and my inconceivable generosity, we're able be who God calls us to be. We're able to care for who God calls us to care. We're able to love like God calls us to love. Or to say it another way, we are able to love as God has already loved. By any rules that we're familiar with, the rules of economics, the rules of physics, the laws of supply and demand, all of those things tell us always that we have to be careful that we never have enough. And into that, Jesus says, God has a completely different way. A way that that requires that we take on our fear, that we face it full up. But then we take our fear and our resources and we bring them to Jesus so that we can be amazed what God does with our stuff, by what God does with us. It really is inconceivable, except